I'd like to give you a little bit of a praise report that happened this morning. Thank you. My mom and I were having our breakfast together, and she ended up telling me about a dream that she had, and I wrote down the dream for her in my pad, and we're talking about this and that. The next thing you know, of course, breakfast is done. And we're in the kitchen, and we're going to decide to do the battle of the dishwasher. How many know the battle of the dishwasher? You got to empty it before you can fill it. So that's what we're doing. You know, we're putting stuff away, and I mean, we're doing the mundane job of now starting to put the dirty dishes in the place where they needed to go. And I don't even know what we were talking about. It was just doing things. And all of a sudden, the intoxication of the fragrance of strawberries, like we were both in a strawberry patch, and I swear to God, they were crushed. They were the ripe, ripe ones, you know, when you can't help it. They smell from a mile away. And it was like, oh, my God, I said, it's so awesome. I didn't say what it was. And Mom says, strawberries. And, of course, this is what? The season of what? Fruit. We were both excited, and then we said to the Lord, gee, we want more. We're not satisfied. And so it was kind of neat because Bob, my brother in the Lord here, when we were down in West Haven, gave us the dimensions and what the reality of strawberries are. And do you know, Bob, I've been so busy all day, I haven't been able to go back to my book and find out what it means. I lost it. Do you remember? You're just as bad as me. I remember strawberries. I remember. You don't remember it at all? Oh, but I remember that he had. Right. Strawberries, bananas. Remember what they were? Because he had a meaning to each one of these things. There was an attachment to each one. And I wrote it down. I pray I wrote it down. But I hope I got the strawberry one because it was so, so sweet to have his presence in the kitchen. Now you say, is something wrong with you? No. You declared smell. When we smell in the realm of the spirit, you can smell the presence of evil as well as the presence of the Lord. We began to talk, Mom and I, about how you can walk into a room and have no presence of anything, and all of a sudden someone walks in and they're filled with a particular disease and you can recognize it by its odor. How many know what I'm talking about? And you know that you know. You don't need an education. You already know there's a negative force around. Well, how about the presence of God's fruit? It's the same thing. So I was excited about that and I thought I'd share that with you. So don't get satisfied ahead of schedule. Do you hear me? Don't get satisfied with what you've got from the Holy Spirit already. Get hungry for more. Ask for more. If you don't ask, you won't get. If you don't knock, you get what? Nothing. The door won't open. So what is it that's wrong with us? We need to change it. We need to submit to the Lord, and we need to ask. Now, I was all ready to go into an area with you guys tonight, but the Holy Spirit decided that he had a plan, so I'm going to obey his plan instead of my own. Is that a good idea? Okay, so would you just bow your heads? Lord Jesus, you gave me this word this afternoon, and I don't know what you're going to do with it, but I'm asking you to just bless this word so that they will get to know what it is that you want to give them in Jesus' name. This is what I heard, Acts chapter 2. Verse 31. Acts chapter 2, verse 31. Seeing what was ahead. He spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. Seeing what was ahead. He spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. Now, where do these words come from? King David. So back up to verse 25. Here's the quote. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also live in hope. My body will also live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Meaning that King David had actually prophesied what the Lord would declare later in order to survive the test he was in and the crushing that he would experience. How many know that God can warn you ahead of time that there's a tough time ahead? How many have ever had a warning? Okay. In fact, the warning came for your daughter, right? Two times. Okay. And you got up in the middle of the night and began to pray. And you didn't quit. That's intercession. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. There are times that you will be knowing inside your inner man, your spirit man, that something is up. And even before you get home, you're aware that something is going on. But you may not have had a phone call, you may not have had a warning, but you're aware of it supernaturally. That is because God has had your equipment, which is your spirit, which is a receiver, aware of either something that's going on, some help that's needed, maybe to warn you to get ready, maybe to intercede before you get home. Those are all the things that can happen when you develop your spiritual senses. Verse 29. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew what God had promised him on oath, that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, of the Anointed One, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God had raised this Jesus to life. And we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God. He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. What did they see and what did they hear? They saw a bunch of drunks that were not under the influence of alcohol. And a week ago, we had, Saturday, right? We had a bunch of drunks in the back room here. Yeah, okay. They had the giggles. They couldn't shut up. And they tore the wall down. And that raised a few eyebrows. And it's okay. I understand that sometimes you can get the giggles by the Lord and get pretty happy. In fact, Sister Yvonne was with a friend of hers this morning taking a walk, and I called her. And the next thing you know, this same lady that was absolutely normal, I understand from, you know, her conversation with me earlier tonight, that she was an okay lady. She was just doing what comes naturally. She was walking. Would you kind of fill us in what happened there, young lady?
Well, she started laughing. And this lady came up. She was walking too. The lady came and looked at her. And then the lady said, "Good morning." And she said, "Oh, good morning." And she was talking on the phone. And the woman, I think she thought that she was crazy. So she said, "Let me say good morning." And she's normal. And then she told the lady good morning. She started laughing again. But it was funny. Yeah, I mean, she couldn't stop laughing. She was just rubbing her stomach, just laughing and walking. We walk about 3/4 miles, but when we go around, like, 1/4 mile each time. We went around 8 times. And I had to say to her, "You're going to get sore, you walking 8 times. She said, "Oh, I didn't know that." So happy. I guess she's feeling whatever the Lord was feeding her.
She lost count.
Morning. She was just joyful. Yeah. Medicine.
Holy Ghost laughter. It definitely be medicine, because you can be laughing in the midst of a hopeless situation. And laughter comes from God, and joy comes from God. And it'll keep you going when you have no hope. It'll keep you going when you might be going through the hardest trial that you've ever lived through in your entire life. And I can relate to you a little story that probably won't make a great deal of sense to you, but there was a time in my life where my wife and I were divided, and it was big time. I was not allowed to go to my own home, etc., etc., and I could go on with details, but I was working in another church at that time, and somebody was very kind to me and gave me a cassette tape at the time about holy laughter. And how you can laugh at your circumstances and climb above the pain in your heart. So I'm going to Canada with my mother. We're going to go visit our family. And I listened to part of the tape. But then when Mom and I were together, we were busy blabbing. And, you know, we did the natural thing. Okay, I'm sure we prayed, but we really did most of the natural thing. So now I get to my brother's house. It's probably around 6, 7 o'clock, and we're going to have a snack. And so my sister-in-law goes into the bedroom, and she comes back out with a little tiny bag, and she gives it to me, and she says, "I will obey." She's got this weird look on her face. So her husband knew what was in the bag, and I had no clue. Well, she says, "Kim, before you open the bag, I was instructed to purchase this just for you." Now that really raised my eyebrows. I said, "Okay, Nicole, thank you." And so I opened the little bag, and inside there is this clown face. That's all it is the face. Okay? And she says, "Push on his nose, or pinch his nose." He's got like this red apple type nose. And of course, the minute you pinched his nose, he begins to go, ha, 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 ha. And it goes on and on. And so I didn't feel like laughing. But this crazy thing was so intense, because now as this laughter is coming out of this clown face, I can see the vision in my head of the cassette tape, and I can hear the words. Laughter will overwhelm you when you are trusting God in the midst of your trial. I thank my sister-in-law, and I said, "I believe definitely this is God. It doesn't make sense, but it definitely is God. So now I'm home about a week, and of course I've got this crazy clown face hooked onto one of the buttons on the radio, and it's hanging in the front seat of the car. I'm listening to the cassette tape, and a cassette tape is telling you that you have to purpose to laugh in order to trigger the Holy Spirit to give you joy. Yeah, right. And then he's talking about how you have to prime the pump. Well, that became a teaching in itself. But the joy of the Lord came on me, and I said, Lord, how do I prime the pump? And I kept seeing myself pinching the nose of this crazy clown. Lord, I'm really not going to do this in the car. This is kind of going too far, Lord. So I argued with the Lord, and how many know he's persistent? As long as I kept driving and not doing, nothing happened. Well, when I finally got the courage, and I'm doing it reluctantly, just to stop hearing, are you going to squeeze his nose? Squeeze the nose, and of course, then that crazy, joyful ha 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 started to come out. And it was like God was really turning it on. I began to get hot. I was so hot. I wanted to take every ounce of clothes off of me because the heat was so intense. It was like the fire of God was in me. And I couldn't shut up because now I'm laughing and I'm laughing. I can't drive. I got to pull over. I stayed in that parking area. I don't know how long. Just desperate for air conditioning. Why? Because God's fire was upon me. I was insane under the anointing. As far as people would look at me, they would have said, put him away. But God was restoring me because I was looking at all my circumstances and I should have been bawling. I had done plenty of that, but how many know you can bawl yourself to death? I had already died from crying, so now God was saying, are you going to do it my way? So I'm listening to the rest of the cassette, and of course it went on, and it was awesome. And of course, I learned what Isaac meant. Isaac means laughter. And the holy anointing was upon me. It did not leave for days. It was so intense that I didn't have any normalcy about me. When I would least expect it, I would start feeling the giggles inside, and they would literally bubble right out of me. If you go back to Acts chapter 2 and back it up a little more, you'll get to see what happened to those disciples. Verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly the sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire. What does fire produce? Heat. That separated and came to rest on a few of them. Is that what your Bible says? On each of them. So nobody's left out when God's in charge. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not these men that are speaking from Galilee or Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? And it gives all the different places where they were from. Even Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we heard them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said they had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servant, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in these days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire, billows of smoke, etc. And the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, changed dramatically. So you see, what is happening even now has not changed. The Holy Spirit hasn't changed his colors. He hasn't changed his ways, and he's ever interceding, working in us to transform us from what we were to what we need to become. And what was the way of getting through for our Savior? By looking what? Beyond their circumstances. He was looking beyond the grave even before. So go back to verse 31 because it's important. That was the verse he said, seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned in the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised his Jesus to life, and we are witnesses of this fact. So you see, if King David could prophesy a way of getting out of problems by declaring what they haven't seen, how did Jesus make it through the crucifixion? Because he kept his eyes on what? The resurrection. If you focus on your problem, what's going to happen to you? You're going to do like me. You're going to cry. If you focus on the solution to the problem, which is what? God's plan of salvation for that problem. Not your plan. God's plan. How long will it take to get God's plan into action and to become a fruit? Bob, you have an example, because it took, what, 3 years from basically the arrest? And I'm not talking about you were put in jail, but you were put in God's jail. And you were stopped from what you needed to probably complete. And God says, I'm going to get my way out of here. Of course, I told him those words, what, 3 years ago? Basically. But God decided that he wanted you real bad. And it was through a hardship. It was through a difficult space. And 3 years later, you still probably don't have the fullness of his plan, but you've got a lot more knowledge than you have. Okay? So how do we learn? By the examples that God has given us, by holding on to what is ahead, by choice and by the prophetic word. How many have had prophetic words spoken over there? How many are still waiting for some of those prophetic words to become a reality? Thank you. Why? Because it's not the fullness of time yet. See, in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, in the Amplified, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come. Now, that's incredible. When the day of Pentecost had fully come. It's like, did Christmas come every year for you since you were a little child? Well, there's a day that my Christmas became a reality because Christ was born in me. And I became a different person. That was my real Christmas. That's when he was real to me. I remember when Jesus grew up in me. He became a mature man, full of power. That's when the Holy Spirit impacted me the most. Because that was the year that the Holy Spirit had come in, and I no longer pictured Jesus in the arms of Mary. I pictured Jesus as a grown man for the first time, and it came in vision form. So what am I saying to you? God has an ability to get you to look at yourself in your matured manhood or womanhood in God. He has an ability to show you that. Now, what do you do in the process? You keep your eyes on the vision. Not on the problem. If you keep your eyes on the problem, what are you going to do? You're going to sink. And you're going to weep. How do you like weeping, by the way? Maybe we should ask Mary. She's a pro. No, no. I'm teasing. You know, what I'm trying to give you an understanding of tonight is if you start looking at the victory that God has prepared for you, rather than the dilemma that you're in at the moment, God will fill you with joy. That's what I'm simply saying. His joy will begin to bubble up in you. His fire will begin to burn out the old. And you'll begin to see God's got a plan just for you. So would you close your eyes, please? Put your hand over your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm asking for a vision or a dream or something to wake me up, to come out of the old, and to stop looking at the problems in my life, but to begin to see a resurrection of where I've been, not to see myself decayed in a tomb or in some burial ground because of all the hardships that I've lived through. I'm choosing today for the Holy Spirit to impact me and to get me to see what's around the corner prepared for me in the heavens by my Savior and my Deliverer, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for revelation knowledge. Thank you for interpretation of dreams. Thank you for words of knowledge that awaken me of what you have prepared just for me. Thank you, Lord. May his anointing be upon you as you go forth in this night, and recognizing that there is a resurrection in every single part of death that has overwhelmed you, tried to take you over, but tonight comes down beneath your feet as a step stool to go higher. In Jesus' name.